Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and I invite you to come and join us for worship at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center. And listen, if you don't have a home church, email me at Pastor Dave. We'll help you find a church. There's no better time to get back into church at the beginning of a new year. Today, we're going to be talking about baptism and walking wet. Baptism and walking wet is the title of this message, and we have two passages, one from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah chapter 43, 1 through 7, and the other from Matthew 3, 1 through 17. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to read along with me, mark up your Bible. It's a great journal. I use my Bible as my journal. I write, I circle words, I let the Holy Spirit speak to me as a word would jump off the page, and that's my prayer for you. If you don't have a Bible, we would gladly send you a Bible. You can email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship, and we'll mail you a Bible. Isaiah chapter 43, 1 through 7. Before we go to God's Word, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us with your Word, fill us with your life, fill us with your hope. As we turn to your Word, may your words be alive and redemptive. May your words shape us and mold us and fashion us. May we learn to walk wet in our baptism and understand your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah chapter 43, 1 through 7. But now this says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. I can tell you, I'm going to just digress for just a moment. This little verse in Isaiah 43, I underlined this verse, oh my gosh, probably 30 years ago. I was going through a difficult time, and I underlined the passage, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. And that verse has ministered to me profoundly through the years. I know somebody listening right now is maybe frozen in fear or disabled by doubt. I want you to hear that word, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I don't know what you're going through, but God has redeemed you. God's grace will be sufficient. And he says he's called you by name. He knows your name. And then he says, you are mine. Verse 2 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, you shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Verse 3, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba as an exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. Wow. I mean, just those words. Because you're precious in my sight. There's someone listening right now that doesn't feel very precious. Maybe you're feeling really alone. Maybe the person you loved has stopped loving you. Listen, God loves you. You're precious in his sight. And he says, and you're honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Verse 5, do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offsprings from the east and from the west. I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold them. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed with my hands. I'll tell you something. Every time I drive to church on Sunday morning, I pray, Lord, bring the people in from the north and the south and the east and the west so that their lives can be touched by your word. That's my prayer for all the churches. I pray that all the churches would be filled. Bring them in from the north and the south and the east and the west and fill your churches. At this time of year, we celebrate. There's a church calendar that the church, you know, universal uses, and it's not unlike the January New Year to September school year. The church New Year begins 4 Sundays before Christmas, and it's called Advent. And we just went through that, and we celebrated Advent, Christmas, and Epiphany, and we'll come through the year to celebrate Lent and Easter and Pentecost, and we come to the end of the church year in November with Christ the King Sunday. We celebrate a day that we remember the Lord's baptism. And so I'm going to talk about the baptism of the Lord and how it's recorded in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 3, 13 through 17. It's also recorded in Mark chapter 1, 9 through 11, and Luke chapter 3, 21 to 22. All three gospel writers record the same powerful event in the words spoken by God. This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Let us listen to our reading from our good friend Matthew. May God's word be alive and redemptive as we remember the Lord's baptism, but also remember our baptism. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all of Judea were going out to him and all the region along with the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is laying at the root of the trees. Every tree bears, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Verse 11, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I'm not even worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him, and John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and why do you come to me?" But Jesus answered, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented, and when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." There's a story told of a family driving home after church, and the mother and father were sitting in the front seat of the car talking about how proud and happy they were that a friend of theirs was presented to be baptized that day. Their three-year-old daughter asked from the back seat, "What does it mean to be baptized?" And immediately their five-year-old son shouted, "Oh, baptism, this is when the preacher washes away all your senses." Wow. A five-year-old says he washes away all your senses. A teacher of the 20-something Sunday school class always received information on prospective new members for their group, and recently one person had noted on his sheet under circumstances of salvation, that was the header, that he had accepted Christ in high school, was baptized, but would like to be reimbursed. And then he crossed off reimbursed, and he says re-immersed. There was a woman who was raised a Methodist, and she became active in a Baptist church when she moved to a new community. And one day she was helping a group of women clean the church kitchen. After a social event, she emptied the large electric coffee pot and handed it to the woman washing dishes, and the woman washing the dishes asked, "Can this be washed?" And the Methodist woman replied, "No, this is a Methodist coffee pot. It says right here, do not immerse." You know, there's a lot of confusion about baptism. There's a lot of confusion about the meaning and the message of baptism. And one of the major difficulties in dealing with this subject of baptism is that there are two very closely related Greek words for baptism in the New Testament. The first word is bapto, B-A-P-T-O, bapto, which means to dip or to immerse. And the second word is baptizo, B-A-P-T-I-Z-O. It is quite obvious that the second word, baptizo, has been transliterated into English, and we have the word baptize. The difficulty comes when we try and translate a word that has different meanings into one language into another language. If baptizo only meant to immerse, which is what bapto means, then immerse would be used. We would speak of John the Immerser, or we would quote the Great Commission from Matthew 28 by saying, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, immersing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." This is not the case, which is why we need to look past the literal meaning of bapto and look at the more important metaphorical meanings of the word. I get really excited about baptism, and I want you to know what I think. I think it really doesn't matter if we're dipped, dunked, or sprinkled. What really matters is that through our baptism, we are poured into the waters of Christ's life, death, and resurrection. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and don't turn off the radio. Don't turn off the program. Listen, we're going to talk about the meaning and the significance of baptism. As I've been thinking about this message and how we could remember our baptism, I was reminded of one of my seminary professors who always liked to tell us the meaning of the different Greek words. The word remember, quote unquote, in English means to bring to mind or to think again. However, the word remember in the Greek culture had a fuller meaning. It meant to bring to the present, to bring to the present. Now, that's a powerful word, remember. It's to bring it to the present. That's what I'd like for us to do today. I would like for us to focus on Christ's baptism, but I would also like for us to remember our own baptism, to bring our own baptism into the present. And I'm really excited about this message. Listen, if you've never been baptized, I would encourage you to join a church, talk to your pastor. You can come talk to me. Baptism is a significant aspect of the church. I'll never forget an experience I had several years ago outside of Lima, Peru. We'd been there for 10 days building a church, and at the end of our time, we celebrated, dedicated a church, and baptized some of the new members. We gathered outside of the village of Canta. Now, that's a Spanish word for sing. We were close to 8,000 feet in the Andy Mountains. We left the village and went out to the beautiful river area just outside on the edge of town. It was somewhat of a fast-flowing river filled with, listen, we're at 8,000 feet, and that water was ice-cold mountain water. Those who were being baptized went off to the side of the river and dressed themselves in full-length white robes. Three other pastors and I stepped into the river, and we waded about 10 feet into the ice-cold river. The new members of the church came into the river one by one, and we would ask them in Spanish, "¿Cómo te llama?" What is your name? And they would claim their name in Christ, proudly proclaiming their name to all their family and friends gathered on the shore. We then immersed them under the icy cold waters, and each person came up from the cold water singing, laughing, or crying. They would stand in the water and proclaim to all who were gathered on the shore what Christ meant to them and how they were going to live for Him. It was a very powerful reminder of making present our born identity in Christ, a new name, a new life, standing and sharing with our friends, or actually they were standing in the middle of the water. It was ice cold. They were sharing with their family and friends what Christ means to them, sharing how they were going to live their life for Christ. These Peruvian Indians were forever changed. Baptism is a sacrament of the church. It is an outward sign of the inward reality of God's grace. Baptism is a sacramental moment when we are forever changed. Baptism is a means of grace. We experience God's love just for us. The visual image is that we're buried with Christ as we enter the waters of baptism. We are then raised into a new life with Christ. Baptism is an outward sign of the invisible reality of being washed clean of both of our senses. I like how that little boy thought of our senses. But really, we're washed of away of our sins. In this one act, we are made new. Baptism is a sign of our being engrafted or adopted into God's family. I love that image of baptism. Being engrafted into God's family. Baptism is also the sign of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Change is one of the significant images surrounding baptism. Again, I'll say, if you've never been baptized and you're listening to this message, my encouragement is talk to your pastor, talk to a pastor, go to a church, write me, come to the Seed. We'll talk about baptism. It is a significant process of being engrafted, being washed clean, being raised into a new life, and being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Going back to the early writings of the Greek literature, I think helps us to understand the words bapto and baptizo. The word baptizo was used about 400 BC to the second century after Christ. In the Greek writings, baptizo always meant a change of identity. Did you hear me? Baptizo always meant a change of identity. A document dated around 200 BC. Now, 200 BC, what I'm trying to say is 200 years before Christ was born, they found this document concerning the recipe for making pickles. Okay, now that sounds strange, doesn't it? I'm going to talk about making pickles. I know you didn't turn it on to listen to making pickles. But around 200 BC, they found this recipe for making pickles, and it was written by a physician by the name of Nicander. Nicander used two words in his recipe, bapto and baptizo. He used both words in his recipe to describe the making of pickles. Nicander said that the vegetable should be first dipped, bapto, into boiling water, and then baptizo, or baptized, in the vinegar solution. It is quite clear that both operations had to do with immersing the vegetable in the solution. First, the vegetable was dipped into the boiling water that was considered a temporary change. But the second operation of baptizing the vegetable into a vinegar produced the permanent change. Baptism signals a change in our lives. Bapto, dipped, dunked, sprinkled, immersed, and baptizo, producing the permanent change in our identity. Pastor Steve Yeschek of Crystal Lake, Illinois, lost his sister Judy after a 5-year battle with cancer, and she was a woman who, as Steve described her, was she was a party animal, a big drinker with a self-contented lifestyle. She was someone everybody loves because she exuded an excitement and thrill for life. When Steve tried to share Jesus with her over the years, she would laugh it off and keep partying. But at the age of 44, her world caved in. She found out that she had breast cancer. She later learned her husband was having an affair. He subsequently announced that he did not love her anymore and left her. It was during those years she began to ask eternal questions and prayed to ask Jesus to be Lord of her life. She asked Jesus to be her life and her light. From that time until her death, Jesus and his word and his purpose became her priority. With the same gusto she had lived life as an unbeliever, she now approached her new life in Christ. Her greatest aim was winning others to Christ. She boldly shared her faith even as she was undergoing surgery after surgery, praying for a miraculous healing from the Lord. Judy ultimately came to see that the greater miracle would be for her friends and family to come to know Christ. Even as she struggled for every breath, she talked her way out of the hospital 10 days before her death so she could be baptized and publicly proclaim Christ as the only way of salvation. Judy invited everyone she knew to come to her baptism service. Under the Spirit's anointing, she powerfully and urgently shared her testimony. Her 84-year-old father came to faith in Christ that night and was baptized along with her ex-husband, a number of nieces, a college roommate who was a New Age cultist, her aunt and her sister, and others. 10 days later, Judy died. More people came to know the Lord when her brother, Pastor Steve, read the message she had prepared for her funeral service. At her funeral service, another 100 people prayed to receive Christ and asked to be baptized. Wow. Judy's life was changed dramatically when she came to Christ. Her passion for life became Christ-centered instead of self-centered. Judy had experienced both bapto and baptizo. Judy experienced the temporary dipping of her baptismal waters, but she had been buried with Christ and all her sins were washed away. She also received the permanent change that baptism brings, baptizo. Like the pickled cucumber, her identification with Christ produced a permanent change in her life. Judy totally immersed herself in the life of Christ. She did not just dip her toes into the water of life. She jumped in with both feet and was totally changed. Judy was given eternal life and was adopted as a child into God's very own family. So what? So what? As we look at this new year, 2020, we're reminded of our need to walk in the fullness of our baptism. We need to remember both our bapto and our baptizo. Today is a day when we remember our baptism. Whether we are dipped, dunked, or sprinkled, we're thankful for our bapto, the day we are immersed in Christ. But we're also thankful for our baptizo, for the permanent change in our identity as children of the family of God. This is what today is all about. A pastor shared a story of his summer internship serving in the mission field in East Malaysia. The church he served was a small rural church, and one of the worship services, a teenage girl came forward to announce her decision to follow Christ and be baptized. And during the service, the pastor noticed worn-out luggage leaning against the wall of the church. He asked one of the Malaysian pastors about the luggage, and the pastor pointed to the girl who had been baptized and told him her father said that if she was baptized as a Christian, she could never come home again, so she brought her luggage. Maybe today you brought some luggage. Maybe as you're listening, you brought the luggage of your past. Today, you can leave that luggage and return home with a permanent change in your identity. I'm going to ask you to ask Christ into your lives and be baptized in Christ's name. And hear those wonderful words that Jesus heard. This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I'm well pleased. That's my prayer for you each week as I give a message. As you reach into the waters, you'll hear these words. This is my child, my beloved child, whom I'm well pleased. Through our baptism, we have been engrafted into the family of God. We've become a part of the family of God. And that's my prayer for you, is that as you listen to these messages each week, that you'll join the family of God and become a part of the family of God. The word at the seed was begun with 1 Peter 1:23 that says, "For you have been born again, not with a perishable seed, but of an imperishable through the living, enduring word of God." Let us pray. Gracious God, let us be born again. Bapto to baptizo, a permanent change in our identity. As we begin 2020, let us look to you, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to know that God loves you. God loves you with an unconditional love, and so do I. God bless. Have a wonderful week.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.